The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
To live is Christ, and to die is gain. When you live for Christ on earth, you'll be with Him in heaven.
Some people think death is the end. Coming up today, Pastor Greg Laurie says it's really a beginning. It's a whole new beginning.
Verse 23 of Philippians 1, I want to be with Christ, which is far, far better. Or for my friends in Hawaii, mo better bra. Heaven is better because I go to be with Christ. It's way better.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Restaurants, people often order an appetizer before dinner. But when the main course is served, are they sad that the appetizer course is over? Not usually. When we focus on this life, we have to remember that real living begins on the other side of eternity, when we're in paradise, in the presence of God. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie offers a heavenly perspective on the earthly trials and challenges we face. We'll see, there's a better day coming.
What do you live for? What would you say is the master passion of your life right now? I mean, what gets you fired up? What wakes you up in the morning? What do you live for? Some people might say, well, I just live to live, you know? Take it a day at a time. Life to them is mere existence. You could almost describe it as an animal-like condition. They have no philosophy to speak of. They have no objective that they live for. They just sort of live for the moment. Maybe they live by the adage, if it feels good, do it. Or they just say, eat, drink, and be merry. But that's a bad philosophy, folks. Another person might say, well, for me, to live is possessions. They have a bumper sticker in the back of their Ferrari. He who dies with the most toys wins. I might add, dot, 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 nothing. He who dies with the most toys wins nothing. Some people are simply enduring rather than enjoying their lives. Their favorite day of the week is someday. Someday it will get better. Someday my prince will come. Someday I'll find that perfect relationship. And here's the problem. You can spend your whole life just waiting. And then death comes. And then the afterlife comes and you've effectively thrown your life away. So listen to this. Only the person who is prepared to die is really prepared to live. And here now are the words of the Apostle Paul in answer to the question, what do you live for? What do you live for? Here's what Paul writes, Philippians 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live on in the flesh, that will mean fruit from my labor. For what I'll choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Point number one. If you're taking notes, when you live for Christ, you'll think of others. When you live for Christ, you'll think of others. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Now, when we hear someone say, for me to live is Christ, we might think, oh man, you have your head in the clouds and you're out of touch with reality. In fact, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But when you're really a heavenly minded person, when you're really a person who's living for Christ, it's a practical spirituality. You know, there are people that have that spacey, wild-eyed, one clown short of a circus look, you know, and they try to make everything so spiritual. And they won't laugh at anything or enjoy anything. Remember, I described them as Bobby Buzzkill and his girlfriend, Debbie Downer. Don't be that person. A godly person, one who is living for Christ, is a caring, loving person with practical spirituality. What kind of representative are you as a follower of Jesus? Are you a bridge or a barrier to people coming to Christ? Are you a staircase or are you a stumbling block? It's really up to you because you are being watched. Now listen to what Paul says. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul was, well, we might describe him as homesick for heaven. But wait, he had never been to heaven. Actually, he had. You see, we read about Paul being stoned for preaching the gospel. They thought he was dead. They prayed for him to come back to life. And he came back again. And Paul writes about it in the book of Corinthians when he says, I knew a man in Christ, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I can't remember, but he was caught up into the spirit and saw things he can't really describe. So basically what happened was Paul died, went to heaven, and came back to earth. So now Paul writes and he says, look, I'm kind of torn between the two because I want to go to heaven and be with Christ. But I think it's important for me to be here with you. Bringing me to point number two. When you live for Christ, you're not afraid to die. When you live for Christ, you're not afraid to die. Look at Philippians 1:23. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You know, there's three words that describe what this means that really help us to understand it. One word that is used when he says, I want to depart, is a word that is used by soldiers when they strike the tent or break camp. So they're moving on. So when a believer dies, it's like we're striking the tent. If you like to camp, you know, you get out there and you set up your tent and get everything ready. And you know, then the moment comes, you have to break camp. Other people have motorhomes. I don't think I'd call that camping. Big, giant plasma television sets and, you know, satellite dish on top. I guess that's camping in a way. Going to the beach. To me, my favorite part of going to the beach is when I get there and when I leave. And I'll go to the beach. I'm so excited. Oh, it's so great. The sun's out and it's perfect temperature. And I love this. And there's nobody here. And I set up my towel and get some books out and put my sunglasses on. And all of a sudden someone shows up and they're like, I don't know why there's like all this space. And they set their towel up right next to yours. And then they have a really loud radio they're listening to. Or somebody else pulls up right next to you and they're talking on their phone on speaker. So you're hearing the whole conversation. Then the kids show up and then the seagulls come and they start stealing your food and flying off with your children and all the problems that come and you're hot and you go, I'm going to leave. I want to go home and take a shower. So Paul is saying it's like striking the tent. It's like breaking camp. The Bible on more than one occasion compares our body to a tent. Tents are not a permanent residence. Now you can do whatever you want with your tent. You can paint it. You can stretch it. You can do whatever you want, patch it, but it's only meant to be a temporary residence. And our body is like a tent. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave these bodies, we have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself, not made by human hands. So I want to depart, break camp. Another way to illustrate depart is to be freed from your chains or unshackled. Paul was locked up, chained up, if you will, to a Roman guard. So death for a believer is like being freed from the chains. I'm talking to somebody right now that is very ill. You're immobilized. You can't do what you used to do. And one day you're going to be freed from the pain of the body you're in and you're going to be liberated. And that's how Paul is describing it. I want to be freed from these shackles and go and be with the Lord. And finally, he uses a word that could be described as untying a boat from its moorings. Another way to put it is set sail. Set sail. So when you believe in Jesus and that day comes for you to go to heaven, you're setting sail for the afterlife. And when we lose a loved one, we're sad. Very sad because we miss them and we wish they had not left us. Maybe we're having an enjoyable moment with family or friends and we think, oh, I wish they could be with me right now. But you know, as I said earlier, nobody in heaven, if given the choice, would ever come back to earth again. See, it's not sad if you're setting sail for a better destination. Let's say that you were getting on a rusty freighter destination, Siberia. I'd be very sad as I waved to you on the dock. But let's say you were on a luxury cruise ship, destination Tahiti. I'd feel sorry for myself because I'm not on the ship with you going to a beautiful place. When a believer dies, they're headed to a beautiful place far greater than earth.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. We're encouraged when we hear that Pastor Greg's teaching and preaching is touching lives.
Hey, Pastor Greg, my name is Mark from New York. Just calling. I was saved at your crusade in Madison Square Garden in the 2000s. And if it wasn't for my mom pulling me to your crusade and me listening to your teachings, I wouldn't be here today probably. You saved my life. After that, I became a Christian. I found a church. I married my wife. We got baptized together. But things didn't always stay good, you know? And last year, I lost my daughter. And your teachings on that subject have really helped me through a really dark and difficult time. And now I have two beautiful sons. And we're picking up where we left off. We're living this life. And I just thank you so much for always giving a good word, always speaking through the Lord. I appreciate you. I thank you.
And we're grateful to hear of the changed lives because of Pastor Greg's teachings. And if you have a story to tell of how these studies have touched your life or that of a family member, I hope you'll email Pastor Greg. His email is greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. Well, today, Pastor Greg is presenting a message called, What Do You Live For? Point number one is, when you live for Christ, you'll think of others. Point two, when you live for Christ, you're not afraid to die. Let's continue now.
Bringing me to point number three, when you live for Christ on earth, you'll be with Him in heaven. Look at verse 23 of Philippians 1. I want to be with Christ, which is far better. By the way, this is a strong word in the Greek. It can be translated far, far better. Not just better, but way better. Or from my friends in Hawaii, mo bera bra. It's way better. Heaven is so much better than earth. Why? Well, because heaven is better because we're moving from a tent to a mansion. Now, this dates me, of course, but do you remember that TV show, The Beverly Hillbillies? Jed was moving from not a great place to a wonderful place in the sitcom, but we're going to go from a broken body, an aging body, a sinful body, to a new body that God will ultimately give us in His presence. No more devil, no more temptation, no more sinful inclination. It's better, and it's better because it's immediate. It's better than when we go to heaven because it's immediate. Paul writes, depart and be with Christ. Paul did not say depart and go to a waiting room. I hate waiting. You go to the doctor's office and you wait. And why are all of the magazines from a year ago? Come on, get new magazines already. Or how about waiting in an airport terminal? You just sit there and wait, and your flight is delayed, and you wait and you wait. Well, that's not what happens when a believer dies. You don't go to a waiting room. You don't go to a place called purgatory because no place called purgatory actually exists. When a believer dies, they go straight to heaven. The moment you take your last breath on earth, you take your next breath in heaven. This is the wonderful thing. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:8, I'm confident and willing rather to be absent from my body and to be present with the Lord. It's better because all my questions will be answered. We all have questions for God, don't we? We'd like to ask God this. Why did you allow this? Why didn't you do that? I heard about one woman's question for God. In an ambitious moment, she invited a lot of people to a dinner party at her house. And at the table, she turned to her six-year-old daughter and said, honey, why don't you say the blessing? The little girl said, well, mommy, I don't know what to say. And the mom said, well, why don't you just say what you hear mommy say? And the girl said, okay, mommy. And then she prayed, Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner? Yeah, it didn't work out so well for mom. But we all have serious questions for God, and one day they'll be answered. Because 1 Corinthians 13 says, right now we don't see things clearly. What I know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely as God knows me. So one day it's all going to be revealed to you. But most importantly, heaven is better because I go to be with Christ. I want to depart and be with Christ. So let me loop back to the question I asked in the beginning. What do you live for? If you would say for me to live is money, then for you to die is to leave it all behind. If you would say for me to live is fame, then for you to die is to be forgotten. If you would say for me to live is power, for you to die is to lose it all. But if you would say for me to live is Christ, then you can say to die is gain. Only the Christian can say to live as Christ and to die as gain. We don't have to fear death because Jesus conquered death at the cross in the empty tomb. At the cross, he defeated sin. At the empty tomb, he defeated death. Death died when Christ rose. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe in him? You say, well, yes, I believe there's a God. Well, I believe there was a God too. When I was a young man, and I knew God was up there somewhere, but I didn't know I could have a relationship with him. That was a new thought for me. And I remember on my high school campus, there was a group of very outspoken people that we called the Jesus Freaks, and that wasn't a compliment. My friends warned me, Greg, stay away from the Jesus Freaks. And I said, the last thing you'll ever see is Greg Laurie becoming a Jesus Freak. Famous last words. But I began to watch these Christians, and I saw the joy and the happiness they had. I mean, it's one thing to be happy fifth period on Friday. These crazy people were happy first period on Monday. I thought, why are they happy like that? And I wanted to dismiss them as all nuts or crazy people, but the problem was I knew a few of them because I used to party with them. And I saw they had something I didn't have. See, at that time, I was using drugs. My life was going the wrong direction. I was empty. I was searching. And one day, I sat a few feet away from a little Bible study they were having on the front lawn of my high school campus. And these Christians, these Jesus freaks, were singing songs about God. And as I watched them singing, I tried a novel thought on, a new thought. And I thought, what if it's all true? What if they really have a relationship with God? I quickly dismissed it. I returned to it again. Yes, but what if it's true? What if they know the Lord? And then a guy got up to speak. His name was Lonnie. He had long hair and a beard. He kind of looked like Jesus, frankly. This is back in the hippie days. And he made one statement. I only remember this statement. He said more, but I remember he said, Jesus said, you're for me or against me. And I looked around at those Christians. I thought, well, they're for him. And I'm not one of them. Does that mean I'm against God? See, I believe there was a God. I'd seen all the movies about Jesus. I admired him. But I saw him as a historical figure that lived and died. I never thought of him in the here and now. And then that guy, Lonnie, said, if you want Jesus to come into your life, get up and walk forward and pray. And some kids walked forward and I hung my head down. I had hair back then hanging to my eyes. Use your imagination. I used to have a great wave. Surfer wave. Now it's just beach. Very sad. But anyway, I hung my head, hair hanging in my eyes, and I thought, there's no way I could do that. Next thing I knew, I was up there praying. I didn't plan on becoming a Christian that day, let me assure you. But that was the day my life changed. That was the day Christ came into my life. Listen to me. This is the day your life can change. This is the moment Christ can come into your life. And let me come back to that statement. Jesus said, you're for me, you're against me. You either are a follower of and a believer in Jesus Christ, or you're opposed to him. Where do you stand? Is Christ living inside of you right now? You say, well, I don't know. Well, listen, I think if God Almighty has taken residence in your heart, you will know. And if you don't know, I would have to ask, is he living in your heart? Maybe not. Listen, he's just a prayer away. Will you allow me to show you the way? It's as simple as praying and saying, God, I know I'm a sinner and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And Jesus Christ will live inside of you. So I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. Would you just pray this prayer with me? And if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life, if you want him to forgive you of your sin, if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you want your guilt taken away, pray this prayer after me right now. Just pray these words. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, but I know you are the Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my life. I turn from that sin and I choose to follow you from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie, praying with those who are making a decision for Christ today. And if you've made that change, we'd like to help you as you begin to walk with the Lord. We'd like to send you our New Believer's Growth Packet. It's free of charge for those making a first-time commitment to Christ today. Just ask for it as you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. You know, Pastor Greg, nobody really saw COVID-19 coming.
Yeah.
You know, you go back some months ago, and this just wasn't on anybody's radar. Just about everybody had jobs, and the economy was doing great. People were watching sports on TV and playing sports down at the park. And then all of a sudden, it seems like life unraveled. Just a matter of days.
Yeah.
What does that tell us about assuming tomorrow is always going to be as good as today?
Yeah. Well, none of us know. None of us are even guaranteed a tomorrow. But I'll tell you, so many things have changed. I'll tell you one thing, Dave. The dumbest thing I ever purchased was a 2020 planner. You know, it's not of much value right now. But you talk about a blank schedule. I'm very busy, actually, but a lot of my busyness sometimes is travel and things like that. And I'm not doing any of those things, but I'm doing a lot at home. But never did I imagine in my wildest dreams that I would go to a bank teller with a mask on asking for money. You know, so the other day I went out with my wife and I wanted to get a little malt. This place has this thing called a date shake. I know that sounds weird, but it's a little shake made with dates. And you put a little nutmeg on top. It's quite nice. But I had this scarf on that I'm wearing right now, as a matter of fact. And so I pull it above my face, you know, when I'm out interacting with people. So I put it on and walked in. And the first thing I said was, this is not a holdup. I just want a date shake, right? So that's the crazy times we're living in. But the good news is I haven't been late for anything for 3 weeks. So, but anyway, yeah, you know, we never are promised a tomorrow. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's been sufficient for us in our past. He'll be sufficient for us in each day, and always he'll be there for us in our future. And I think we need to remember that God is in control of our lives if we've put our faith in Jesus Christ. As I've often said, the word oops is not in God's vocabulary. So we don't need to panic. We need to pray. We don't need to worry. We need to worship. We need a biblical perspective. And I've written a brand new book called Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. And it deals with topics like how to handle your fear, how to deal with your anxiety, how to ask the Lord to help you, how to trust in the Lord in these difficult times that we're all facing together, and a whole lot more. And I want to send you this book for, get ready for it, because we're going to use Echo. I want to send you this book for free. Yes, that's right. No charge. You can have it as my gift to you. But if you would be able to support us right now financially, I'd really appreciate that, because there are incredible doors open for us to reach more people than we have ever reached before. You know that this radio program is of some value, I hope, to you or members of your family. And wouldn't you like to see other people hear it where they're living? Well, when you invest in our ministry, you help us to look at new opportunities to bring the gospel to the world. You know, Jesus said to the Church of Philadelphia, which I believe is really the Church of the Last Days, Jesus said to her, and I believe us, in effect, I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it. We want to walk through this open door of opportunity. And if you will pray with us and if you will support us, we can do a lot more than we can do without it. So prayerfully consider what you can do to help us as we reach out to our nation and indeed our world through these days of the coronavirus. And I would love to rush you a copy of my brand new book, Bringing Christ into Your Crisis.
Yeah, that's right. And listen, if you'd consider investing on a regular basis, ask about becoming a Harvest Partner. We can pass along all the details. And again, Pastor Greg's new book is titled Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. The Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Ever wonder about that passage? Well, that's the theme next time as Pastor Greg continues his series, Quarantine Life, here on A New Beginning. Be sure to join us.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.